Amen. Let's turn to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Well, I woke up at 3:30 this morning in the hotel down there and got up, and I don't know if that's an age thing or what that is, but sometimes I wake up like that and can't go right back to sleep. And just up and up and up, and I know I got a day ahead of me. I knew I was going to be driving back. I know I had a couple more visits. But with that, amen, with the strength of the Lord, and this has direct bearing on what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about our flesh. Our flesh. Somebody say, your flesh. No, I guess I, let me say, no, I better change that, because I said your flesh, and you might be talking about somebody else's flesh. Say, my flesh. That's what you're going to talk about. We're going to talk about our flesh tonight. Amen. Amen. What a devastating enemy that is, and I don't think some of us really take to heart how much influence our flesh has over our life. You know, it'll have us coming to one service overjoyed and coming us to the next service and looking like we just got robbed of all our worldly wealth. And it carries with it, and it influences us. A lot of times I date myself, and some of y'all would have to go and look this up. I realize some of our young people, there was a comedian named Flip Wilson. And they'd ask him why he'd do something, and he'd always say, the devil made me do it. And when you begin to search the Bible, you begin to find out everything that you do has, in fact, most of the stuff you do has nothing to do with the devil. That's you. That's your ideologies, your thought processes, your wants, your desires, your will that you manifest in the presence of God. The Bible has a lot to say about our flesh. The Bible has a lot to say about us ruling over our flesh and taking authority. There's some things that I think me and Sister Bonita were talking the other night, and we got into discussion that God tells us, he didn't say some things he would take away from us. Some things he told us, you put off, you get rid of. And sometimes we look and we got to help maybe some of us identify, because maybe some of us don't know what flesh is. Because I want you to understand, when I say flesh, I'm not talking about soma. I'm not talking about tissue and blood. I'm talking about that inner man, that seat of emotions, those desires. Because how many of you know when your body acts out, that's really your inward man acting out? That's your flesh in operation. So when we talk about flesh, we're not simply talking about I'm hungry and they have a fast and I feel like eating. Yeah, that's flesh. But how many know when you hate somebody, that's flesh too? How many know? Well, if you didn't, we're going to find out tonight, amen, because the word of God is very clear. Before I know I said Galatians, but let's look at Romans, the 8th chapter first. Romans, the 8th chapter. If you read chapter 7, you look and you begin to see, if you actually sit down, you will probably want to read 6, 7, and 8 together. Those kind of work hand in hand with what they talk to us about and what our experience. And Paul is writing about an experience there. Number one, he starts out in chapter 6 and he says, because he's speaking on the ideal of grace and the attitude of grace. And again, that's a whole nother message for a whole nother time. But because he talks about the attitude of grace, he didn't want to leave his readers with the impression that you're justified by faith alone. And so he comes along and he begins to write, and shall we continue in sin and grace abound? And it says God forbid anathema. May it never be so. That can never happen. God's grace is not an opportunity, or does it create an opportunity for us to sin? It's not a credit card for our flesh to act out. And remember again, everything you do isn't always the devil. Sometimes the devil watches your flesh and he manipulates the situation to entice you. We won't go there tonight, but James says this in the first chapter of James. He says, let no man say when he's tempted with evil that God tempted him. Because every man, when he's tempted, he's drawn away. It's through his own lust. Doesn't even mention the devil. This is why we have to take on the characteristic and the determination to deal with our flesh and its appetites. And when I say appetites again, I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about its very will being expressed in its desires. Paul had to put it this way, didn't he? Say, I crucify my flesh. I die daily. That it's a process, you know. Even today, and y'all know my pet peeve, I always talk about it. You're riding down the road. There is nobody behind you for 10 or 12 car lengths. And you decide you want to crowd over in front of me. Y'all have to pray for me then. Because so many times, time after time, and you try to express logic. Well, I don't want them to be a danger to me and others. So you speed up so they can't get over. But a lot of times that has nothing to do with the fact that them being a danger. You just don't want them to treat you that way and what you're doing. And so that is an example of flesh. That is flesh identifying. So we have these moments that flesh is identified, and as flesh shows itself clearly and it expresses itself to us clearly, and there's moments that it's subtle and it doesn't express itself in the same way. And we're going to look at the word of God here to tell us that. But Paul recognizes this, and in chapter 6 of Romans, he builds this argument that says, but because of the finished work of Christ, because of the grace of Christ, you've been freed from sin. Now, he doesn't say it leaves you alone. It doesn't say you don't bother. It doesn't say your old nature goes away. Because the next chapter, we find out he testifies to very much a different thing. But his experience is now you've been freed and you no longer have sin as the dominating feature of your life. In other words, like my cousins used to say back down south, everybody has to sin. And we as sanctified believers used to look at them and say, no, everybody doesn't have to sin, because we've been freed from the, and Pastor Fluker says it all the time. I first heard it with Bishop Simmons. We've been freed from the power and the penalty of sin. From the power of sin. So in chapter 6, he tells us that sin as a believer now, it no longer has the same dominance over you. You don't have to respond to it the way that you used to, because when the precious blood of Jesus was shed and grace came in, it broke the bond, it broke the chain, it broke and it loosed something in you that now he makes a declaration in chapter 6 that you are no longer a slave to sin or unrighteousness, but now you're a slave to righteousness. So it changes your relationship in accordance to sin, that you're no longer on its dominance according to scripture, but now righteousness becomes your master. If you are a believer, and now I don't want to go another direction tonight, but if you are a believer, 1 John tells us that says that if you commit sin, you're of the devil. And this carries along with this, and we talked about this plenty of times, it carries along with this ideal of practicing. As a believer now, when you sin, you ought to feel dirty. It ought to feel out of place for you. If you can practice sin and go on and you're okay with it, And again, I'm not talking about chasing women. I'm not talking about smoking dope. I'm not talking about getting blind, drunk, and partying. I'm talking about areas that we're going to talk about tonight, like hate, that you regularly practice that. You openly and defiantly practice rebellion without any remorse, without any regard. That's flesh. And he says that if you can do that comfortably, I would question whether or not you're saved. Because he that belongs to God, he cannot practice sin. That's just not part of our lifestyle. That's not part of our commitment. Unfortunately, our connection to sin comes through flesh. So now we got to identify flesh and say, I got to kill this. I got to identify this in my life so I can get rid of it so that it doesn't undermine everything that God wants. How many wants the best that God has for you? How many want God to really fill your life and give your life some purpose and give your life some direction? You got to get rid of some things. You got to let go of some things. You got to be willing. I don't know about you, but there's some things I've brought before the Lord, and I just said, Lord, I can't deal with this. I can't handle this. I can't fix this. It's not in my wheelhouse or my power. I need your help. Help me, Lord. Help me, God. And there, your will has to be involved to the extent and point that you say, God, whatever you ask me to do to get rid of this, I got to be willing to do it. Again, we're going to find out when we go down this list, because that can be something as simple as anger. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You have an angry spirit. Yeah. And there's different kinds of angers. There's wrath and emulation. We'll talk about what those are. But those are different forms of anger. Because some of us, again, I've used the word passive aggressive around here quite a bit, and microaggression. Some of us are nice in showing our anger. It's still anger. Some of us are nice about showing our rebellion. It's still rebellion. You know what you're doing. And you don't have a problem with it. And so those kind of things, you can't say and think you're going to slip under the cover past God without God calling you on it. Because to God, sin is sin. I was listening to radio on the way here, and a scripture I often cite, he was going through, and he said, many shall say to me that day, Lord, Lord, and I prophesy in your name, and cast out devils and did many mighty works. And he's going to look and says, you worked iniquity. I never know you. And so there is such a danger in that scripture that you can be in church and you can be a sinner. You can be in the house of God doing things in the church and be lost while you're doing them. So since I recognize that experience is identified in Scripture, God, I don't want to find myself over there. So God, whatever, no matter, and that's what crucifixion does. It says, no matter how painful that is to me, no matter how, quote, self-destructive that may be to me, God, if you want me to give it up, I got to let it go. And I'm willing to do it, Lord. This attitude I have, these ideals that I have, this self-righteousness that, I'm going to stay in the house tonight, this self-righteousness that I have. I got to get rid of all of that. And so flesh is something, because now he goes on and he lets you know, now righteousness is your new master, chapter 7. He goes and he builds this case and he says, but I find that my experience doesn't always match up with the demand of the law. Because I see myself wanting to do right things and I find myself doing the opposite. I find myself in situations where someone's passing me in traffic and trying to crowd over me, and I find myself in situations where I'm looking and I'm blowing my horn saying, what are you doing? Something as simple as that. Because you come up here, you just got done. I have gospel music, family radio playing. And all this is happening while family radio's on. And then you go right back to your hymns and your song. And we get used to just practicing things. And, oh, God, that's just me. And some things God says, like, there's some, how many don't understand this? There's some things about you God don't like. You may pet them, and you may think they're nice, and you said they're good habits and they're good things. But have you ever really sat down with God and said, now, God, what do you not like about me? Some of us don't want to have that discussion because we don't want him telling us. And so our experience, Paul was wrestling with this, saying, I'm finding this experience in myself that I've come to this determination that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing good in your flesh. There is nothing nice about your flesh. There is nothing that God wants in your flesh. Nothing. You may take pride in it. You may hold your head high. You may hold, well, you know, I've always been one to speak my mind. Well, sometimes that's flesh, and you need to shut up. And we become proud about these things that don't please God. And so we ain't, what did y'all teach on Tuesday night? Maybe, no, I'm going to stick with this message. What? We become proud about some of these things and attitudes and ideals and all these things that we have, and somehow we justify these actions when Scripture condemns them. We take things and blow them and twist Scripture and take them out of context to fulfill our desires without reading what the Word actually says. And so we find ourselves justifying ourselves. And just because this feeling is overwhelming him at the end of chapter 7 is where we get to chapter 8, don't we? And he looks and he says, there is, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? Y'all notice that ain't a small s, right? There ain't no A in front of it. Them who walk after a spirit. Because some of us walk after a spirit, small s. But notice they capitalize, because who is it talking about? The Holy Ghost. You follow hard after him. You follow him. Because that's where you stay away from the ideal and the danger of condemnation. How many ever had one of those Holy Ghost help me moments? You felt the flesh. You felt it bubbling. It was beneath the surface, and you had to say, Holy Ghost, help me right now. I need your help, Lord. I was at on Freeport, I was at an ATM machine, I don't know if the lady was in a rush. I don't know what her issue was. But as I walked away, she said the N word. That was one of them Holy Ghost help me moments. Because most of us, when you substitute your first name in it, what would Jesus do? No, let's ask ourselves, what would Joe do? What would Rick do? And I didn't put a brother in front of it because you ain't acting like no brother when you do that, right? Because every now and then we run into these areas of constraint, and God shows us that our flesh is very much alive. And so you got something to deal with every day. Every day. And if that don't lead you to the ideal and identify that you need to pray all the time, that you need to engage yourself in God's word, because God, let me tell you what studying God's word does. It puts the word and it plants it in your heart. And sometimes you may think you've forgotten it. You may think it's gone away. And when you find yourself in a situation, guess what will bubble up? God's word will come through the Holy Ghost, and he'll help you identify and say, my word says such and such. What is he doing? He's keeping you away from condemnation. See, there's nothing wrong with walking under conviction. What you don't want to walk under is condemnation. And the guarantee of that happening if you walk after the things of the Spirit, the capital S, and you follow us. Let's go continue to read. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. See, again, he's emphasizing that that relationship is broken with life in the Spirit. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, he was the perfect sacrifice. He lived righteously. There was nothing. He proved, well, they do this and they do that. And do, guess what he's telling us? You have the perfect example in Jesus Christ. He came here. How many know he wasn't a phantasm? He wasn't a ghost. He was a real natural man. He hungered. He thirsted. He grew weary. He grew tired. He experienced, and if you read Hebrews, the fourth chapter, I believe, it says he was in all points tempted like we were, yet without sin. Apart from sin, his experience living in a sinful world is that he could testify, even in a sinful world, I lived a godly and a sanctified life. So if you ever want to search and look for and point out examples, no one else can be your example. You have the pattern in Jesus Christ. And many of us, how many of us blame, because, you know, I talked to our young men about this in our young men meeting, you know. I'm not getting this and this not happening for me in life because my house or my background, my teacher, this one don't like me, this one. And I, one day we had a meeting. I looked at them and said, y'all take some ownership. Quit messing around here and say what it really is. Take some ownership and say, I'm part of that problem too. That teacher can't make you go home and follow you and make sure you study. That teacher, your parents can put you in the best of situations, but if you don't take advantage of them, whose fault is that? Yours. So take some ownership. And how many know sometimes we need to do that when it comes to Christ? Take some ownership and say, this is me, and I need to do something about myself. I need to do something about my situation, my mindset, my will. How many know we all got a will in here? How many know, and I ain't going to look for hands. Y'all wave your hands either on that one. But how many know we exercise our will sometimes a little bit too much? But let's look at the word of God. In all your ways, acknowledge him. How many of us do that? In all your ways. Now we get up and we hop out the bed and we run and we go through our day and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. And even the word of God. The word of God is so, it regulates your life on such a basis that it tells you when you get up during the day, don't even get up and say, tomorrow I'm going to do such, 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 such. It tells us how to even express it. And I used to hear the old saints do it all the time. If the Lord's will, I'll do such and such tomorrow. We talking about I got to go on vacation. Who told you got to go on vacation? I got to get away. Who told you got to get away? Because sometimes I know you ain't talking about Jesus, especially with some of the stuff you got going on with your flesh. It can't be the capital S. It has to be that little S. It's talking to us. And so, and what we do in our walk with God and staying under his leading and guiding, because that word walk implies that we are staying in step with his direction. How many of the Holy Ghost been lead? He tries to lead and guide you, and sometimes you drag your feet. He's trying to pull you along a lot faster, and you start picking daisies. You get caught up in your own world, your own ideals, your own attitude, and you begin to lose connection but where he wants to lead you. We have Christ, verse 3, as our example. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And remember, we're not talking about tissue and blood. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, and this is kind of where we rubber meets the road. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, let's talk about this word mind for a minute. I think, and I have to go back and look at it. Usually when you see the word mind in the Bible, it's a word called nous, N-O-U-S. And basically, it's not talking about your little brain. It's talking about that part of your being that looks at the world, identifies things, and it becomes your central processing unit, that it interprets things. And therefore, the results, you know, they had a thing when I used to hang out with computer guys. They said, garbage in, garbage out. You know how we get up there and say, we hitting a button on the computer. This dumb computer. How come it ain't working, this dumb computer? It ain't the computer. It ain't the computer that's dumb. You done hit enter 70 times, so that's what it's trying to do. There again, take some ownership. I tease them around my house because they something on the floor and they trip over something. Now, you little stupid thing. No, it wasn't this thing that tripped you, that you weren't looking where you were going. Take some ownership. That is me, Lord. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your guidance. I need your direction. It ain't sister so-and-so's fault. It ain't brother so-and-so's fault. It ain't how I'm being treated. It's me, Lord. Because there are certain things that if I was following after the Spirit, they wouldn't upset me the same way. I remember back in the day, and this is a long, back in the day, like I said, we're in the blessed generation. Y'all under Grandfather Archie and not Father Archie. That when we fast, it was no water, no food. And I remember fasting to the point I was so weak. If you wanted to argue with me, I didn't have that much energy to muster up. You can go ahead, do what you want to, have your way. Guess what? The old man was dead. You can punch me. And I was like, I ain't even going to punch you back. No. Don't have the energy. Because that old man, I needed everything I needed to pour into God to have strength. And so when we become and we get to the place where we serve God and God now begins his eye and we seek after his Spirit, again, when you're carnally minded, when you're processing things through the carnal mind, and isn't the carnal mind a mess? Because you can walk past somebody and they look at you and you look at them and maybe you may, I know they don't like me. Now, how you know that? They never have liked me. How you know that? But that old noose is carnal minded. So it takes in the information and said, the way they looked at me, I came to this conclusion. Let me know if you're a dead man. You can be laying in a casket. You can look and you can look, put any kind of face you want to it and look at a dead body. Guess what's going to happen? Nothing. You can cuss at that body. You can walk up and slap that body. He ain't going to move. That lets us know that some of us are very much alive. Because some of us, we got to have a word, tit for tat, word for word. We got to have a response. I don't deserve to be treated like that. Your flesh man is alive. There's some more you got to give up to God. And Paul says if you have that mindset, it can lead to death. And again, I will often posit this word because death is not stop living on this side. Death is separation. Death is taking yourself away from the presence of the Lord. What you don't want it to lead to is Matthew 7. He says, depart from me that work iniquity. Because now you're leading yourself to the second death, where you will be eternally separated, God. So when I look at things like that and I go, God, I don't want to carry anything. You know, my dentist was working on me one time, and he told me, now, I'm going to do this. And he says, before I feel this, though, we got to put the medicine. We got to get everything out. We got to make sure everything's clean. We can't leave any sign of anything because we don't want things. We don't want to cover this up and fill the tooth. And then we turn around and there's still something because it can bring back the infection. So I got to get everything out. And sometimes even with the Novocaine, you know, they picking and digging and you're hearing a scraping in your ear and you're just waiting for them to hit that nerve that's going to make you jump. But I'm saying, Dennis, do whatever you got to do, because I don't want the same problem again. And how many know we ought to get like that before the Lord? Lord, I'm going to turn myself over to you and allow you to operate on me. Because I don't want to ever be separated from you. I don't want to ever put myself in a position where I'm thinking I'm in a relationship with you and there's no relationship at all. To be carnally minded is death. It's separation. How many know when you come to church and you are carnally minded, God's not receiving your praise? How many know when you come and even if you are teaching or you're preaching, because there's a lot of things we're going to find out when we go down our list here that interfere with our relationship with God, that our heart must be pure, our heart must be clean. There must be no ulterior motive, there must be no other designs, there must be no seeking for vain glory or vanity, there must be no ambition. That God, what I'm giving you, I want to give you a perfected praise. I want to move self out of the way. Because if I don't move self out of the way, it becomes a performance. And that doesn't glorify you. And so all these things we do, we got to be careful in our doing them, that we allow God, saying, God, take everything out that doesn't please you. Everything that doesn't. Because that issues forth in death, separation from you. And if I allow it to persist long enough, it leads to eternal separation from you. Verse 6 again, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity. How many know what that word enmity? Because sometimes we read the Bible and we just pass over these words and we don't. What does that word mean? It's hostile. It is an enemy. You, in your natural state, are an enemy to God. I got to quote scripture to just remind you there. It says, all our righteousness is as. And I won't tell you what the Hebrew actually means. So anything that we do in the flesh, in a carnal state, anything that we do that is not glorified. You know how you come in and they say, lift your hands. You go, thank you, Jesus. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That you mad. You got a wrong spirit. You need to ask God to forgive you. Get down on your knees. Because here we go with the Bible again. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. Worship is not a playing around thing. Worship is a serious experience and an interaction with God that lifts you up above praise. That takes you to those heavenly places that you actually literally commune with God. That's what worship does. See, praise is just a feel-good thing, and everything that hath breath, let it praise the Lord. Sometimes it's the right rhythm and the right beat and the right bass line. But worship doesn't care about any of that. Worship doesn't care about what everybody else around them are doing. You're connecting with God. You know, when me and Sister Lynette go out to eat, and particularly if we go somewhere like Ruth Chris, I ain't paying attention to anybody else's conversation around me, all the activity. Me and her are talking. That's an intimate moment. We're having fellowship. Like I think Brother Tyrone took me a little bit too literally. I said, now me and Sister Lynette, we like to go to Leatherby's every now and then. And we'll sit there, and that's our time, because I told you that one time we walk out the door and the grown folks start following. And looks like, where are you going? This ain't about y'all today. Y'all got cars, go get your own ice cream when you get ready, but this is our time. And so that's our time, and I said, now, even if I see some of y'all, and so I looked up, and there's him and Sister Candy were there, and he walked by and said, well, Pastor, I don't mean to disturb you, but just want to say hi and keep going. In other words, he understood that I don't want anything to interrupt that fellowship. How many know we need to be that way with God? I don't want anything to interrupt that fellowship. Myself, my sin, other people, I can't allow anything to get it, because I want to climb from the experience of praise into worship. So no matter what's going on around me, God, I'm honoring you, and I'm communing with you, and I'm fellowshipping with you. And that, guess what that means? You have to get rid of flesh. It's identity, anything that stinks and flesh. That's just like taking a pig and offering it for the offering before the Lord in the Old Testament. And we know that was not allowed. The carnal mind is hostile. It's enmity. Notice what it says, the carnal mind. Not just the flesh. Your way of thinking is hostile toward God. Your way of processing the information. You know, sometimes we hear a word from God or we hear a message and we don't like what's being said, so the noose goes, okay, let me reinterpret that and soften the blow a little bit, because that word just came too hard and direct. So let me tweak it here and tweak it there, because Pastor Jeff, you know, he doesn't understand what I deal with. Guess what? What you deal with and how you feel and all that don't change God's word. The foundation of your life experiences. Because sometimes we just take that light and we shine it on us just a little bit too much. And that's part of flesh. We want people to feel sorry for us. And sometimes we got ourselves in our own situation. So we will take that light and shine it on us without asking God forgive us, because we want pity and agreement. How many know some of your friends that agree at your flesh are your worst enemies? Yes, you need somebody that's going to speak some truth to you. Yes, you need somebody that's going to tell you what thus saith the Lord. You need that experience. And you know, that's why, again, I look back through my life and I appreciate our bishop in the foundation that he's laid in us. You can't walk away from an experience from him and not understand what holiness means. You can't say, well, I didn't know, and I didn't know the experience, because, you know, Sister Susie was telling us on Sunday, and she came in late, but she was one of the ones that grew up in the ministry. She said, her and Brother Rick came to ministry at the same time, and she was telling me a story I never even knew. She said, I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing, and everybody else was going to bed. She said, I decided to cut on the TV. And I cut on the TV, and here was this man talking about, sinner, if you don't get right, you're going to go to hell. This could be your last nights. You better receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And she said, I ran to the room with them friends. I said, I got to get saved right now. And she said, I've been saved ever since. Because someone was preaching the gospel. Someone said, I'm not going to try to make you feel good. I'm going to tell you the truth of what God's word says. And guess what it brought for? It brought a lasting experience in Jesus Christ that we're looking at. She is in her 70s now. So she is at her point of being in her 70s, from being an 18-year-old to her 70. She's been saved since then. Because someone decided to tell her the truth. Somebody needs to hear the truth. Verse 7, maybe we can get through this. We got to get to our next setting. Because the carnal mind, our mindset, not our actions alone, our mindset is enmity, or Sister Woods told us, hostile toward God, against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. You can't take your flesh and make it suitable to please God. Every inch of your flesh has to die. How many know that's a daily work? I found out a little bit today, it's a daily work. Lord, constantly, and I don't say he whoops me and beats me. No, the Lord constantly deals with me about me. Stuff I discount and look at as simple and as nothing, the Lord will reveal his word to me and say, but to me, it's something. And you can decide, I don't want to hear that voice. That's just not. Because the carnal mind resists, and it has a natural instinct to resist God. Some of us, I can tell when carnal minds are at work, even in our services, because when we're having a message like this sometimes, some of y'all, you be clapping your hands, you're in the choir singing and so forth, and all of a sudden you got to go into deep study and prayer during the message. That ain't God, that's the carnal man. Telling you don't pay attention to him, particularly if you don't like what he's saying. That's the carnal man. You know why it's the carnal man? Because when you get home, you will cut on the TV and will not open your Bible. If study meant that much to you, why don't you open it at home? Take notes at church and open it at home. See whether these things are so. Because our flesh is designed, it naturally resists God's will. Oh, don't believe. I remember one time I was probably sitting where Brother Aaron was sitting. And you know, we had first, second, and third fast. We had that every month. And Bishop was standing up front, and he looked and he said, you know, saints, the Lord's leading me this go round, and we're going to fast 7 days. I stood there. But the carnal mind, 7 days this time? Oh, see, y'all trying to look religious and sanctified. Don't y'all sit and look like, don't become hypocrites and look like liars in the presence of the Lord. Don't you do it. And I had to speak to the spirit of mine and say, didn't you hear what the man of God said? You're going to humble yourself. You're going to obey. Guess what? And if I decide, when he tells everybody else one meal, if I decide for you not to eat nothing, guess what? You obey me. That's the way the Spirit talks to you. There's just things about it. I'm gonna mess again here. Pastor said, be here such time. You're consistently and persistently late. You got to ask yourself if that's the flesh. Do you have a disobedient spirit? Because like I dare, and I presented this to some of us before, some of us got a 15-minute late spirit. No matter what time we set, you're going to be 15 minutes late. If we say 7, it'll be 7:15. If we say 8, it'll be 8:15. If we say 6:30, it'll be 6:45. You got to ask yourself, is that my flesh? Because flesh likes to show itself in rebellion to God. There's no other place, and yeah, I'm going to stand on my soapbox here for a minute. There is no other place that we don't take time as less serious as we do the house of God. No other place. See, some of y'all, if y'all can't say amen, just nod your head. Do something. There's no other place that we don't take time as serious. Again, I challenge you, go in your job. I remember I was so messed up. One night we had revival all week, and I woke up, and I done told y'all this before, and I'm sleeping. I wake up, and I hit the snooze on the alarm, and I don't know if I hit the wrong button, and it went off, and I woke up and said, oh! I jumped up. No time for a shower today. Tied on my tie. Raced down the highway. Got to work. Walked around half the day before someone looked at me and said, hey, you need to fix your collar. Because I had tied the knot here, and the rest of the tie was on the outside of my collar. And I looked at him and said, y'all let me walk around like that all day. And then I went in the mirror, and my hair was a little bit long, and I went in and looked in the mirror, and because I slept, I forgot to comb my hair, so this side of my hair was smashed. But I was so in a hurry to make sure I made it to work on time. That I wouldn't care about how I looked. If the IRS wrote you a letter and said, we need to meet with you at 8 o'clock, I ain't going. Try that. If they send you a jury duty and says, be there at such and such a time. Now, the fleshman will get to thinking, how can I get out of it, number one. But you realize you can't think out of that? You're going to be there like they said, be there. And guess what? You're going to sit there all day. You ain't going to look and say, I got to go home. No, I've been sitting here long enough. This is too long. Y'all mean y'all have jury duty all day like this? You will sit there until they dismiss you. We're going to go to Dallas in a couple weeks. That plane ain't going to wait for me. The plan is to be there 2 hours early. Make sure I'm ready for the check-in. We respect time all over the place, but the carnal man says you don't have to respect time in the house of the Lord. It's all right for you to be a little late. And pretty soon a little late becomes a practice. Pastor Jeff, leave us alone. Let's move, leave this topic. No, I'm staying right here for a minute. This is what I like to do. This is what I've decided to do. This is the way I'm going to do. Because the carnal mind is hostile toward God. Don't tell me to fast. Don't tell me to pray. Don't tell me to read my Bible. Don't tell me when to be at church. The things of God, just the natural. And I use myself as an example, just to let you know I'm preaching to the choir. Because sometimes when the men of God, when God leads them in a certain vein, there's an immediate protest in your spirit. What? If I would love, maybe I start bringing my camera with me. I would love to stand up here one Sunday morning and say, the Lord told us, let's have an evening service tonight. and take a picture when I said that.
Yes, sir.
And we used to do it on a regular basis.
Yes, sir.
Every Sunday. Now we're in the middle of a service, and we've been here, and it started hitting around 1 o'clock. This, and Lord, we're going to get to it. This ideal of, I want you to expose the carnal man, because we have lack of self-control when it comes to the house of God. We come, and some of y'all, some of y'all are the walking this people. Some of y'all like Judas now. Lord, is it I? Back in the day, oh my Lord. We used to hear, keep your feet. I can take you straight to the scripture because we used to hear it so much. Y'all be still because God's in this place. We get up walking out when we want to, the way we want to, the way we want to do things. We're out in the lobby having discussions while church going on. The carnal mind is enmity against God. What y'all teach on again Tuesday night? All right. Well, we're talking about well doing then. Getting rid of the flesh. Because that's the only way we're going to reap, right? Verse 7 again, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It will never be. It will never allow you to be subject to God. Notice the seriousness of what he says. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I want to sit and let that gravity of that statement marinate with you. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now I know I'd probably get 100% if I asked to lift your hands and say, how many really want to please the Lord? We probably get 100%, won't we? Well, guess what that means? You got to die out to your flesh. You got to be willing to give up your flesh. Every bit of it. Let's look at Galatians because I don't want to. Well, what time is it? Yes. Let's turn to Galatians real quick. Where we originally started, the 5th chapter. And start at verse 16, Galatians 5th chapter, verse 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, there's that capital S again, at least in my Bible, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the Spirit. Again, I want these positive statements to resonate with you. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the Spirit. So when we fulfill the lust of the Spirit, guess what that's implying? You're not walking in the Spirit, right? Yeah. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's this war. There's a warfare. What we just said, they're contrary. They don't get along. There's nothing that they see in each other that they desire. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law, because the Spirit will help you fulfill the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Well, how you know people are in the flesh? How can you judge me and say I'm in the flesh? That word manifest says they appear to be visibly seen. That's what that word epineros means, that they are physically seen. You know, I notice sometimes, like, particularly when we have a teacher, sometimes I watch our Sunday school, and I won't keep messing with these areas. Teacher be up here teaching. Y'all just be in your own world. Then all of a sudden you want to lift your hands and have a comment. Ain't paying a bit of attention. I mean, you are sitting there literally reading the Bible, probably some other scripture, while the teacher is teaching. And so when we get to a point, now we're talking about apples and you way over here talking about lemon juice. And the saints are going, what? Huh? What? And we just want to look deep and spiritual about it. Oh, yeah, I'm messing tonight. Brother Tyrone and Brother Rick, y'all have to walk me out after service. Just off stuff. Flesh will make you do that mess. Trying to promote itself. And it looks just as off and crazy. And as... if that teacher's up there teaching, guess what? I'm subject to that teacher and I'm listening to that teacher. You should have had all your studying done Saturday night, by Saturday night. And you can tell when people study because they add something to the lesson.
Yeah, they do.
They're not walking down saying, look at the green grass. And you're going, oh, look at the bumblebees. No. That's off. But we try to, flesh like, again, it likes to look deep. And sometimes it is literally seen. That's flesh. Because flesh likes to show off. Flesh likes to issue forth the importance of self. And we're going to see this. We're going to read through this list real quick. Now the works, and notice that's pluralized, of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And we pass again these words. Lascivious means you're prone to any sin. Just anything that's bad that's happening, you're willing to practice it. Again, we're not talking about just all these outward things. Sometimes if you're a gossiper and a busybody and you're prone to that, guess what? That's still sin. And we're going to find out in this list. This is part of the flesh. I read past these real quickly for a special reason. Idolatry, witchcraft. Most of those we can look, check those off. So I'm not doing that. Now let's peel back the layers on this. Because now he leaves this outside stuff alone. And he starts probing on the inside. And I, long time ago, and if you ever want this, I got this somewhere in my computer. These are what I listed as inner man sins. The first one says hatred. How many of the Bible says if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. We don't need to elaborate on hatred. It's animosity. It's a violent attitude towards someone else. Wishing ill will on somebody else. The next one is variance. And these are people that have a contentious temper. In other words, they're argumentative. And this word basically refers, if you look at it throughout the Bible, it refers to the ideal and the identity of verbally attacking someone. I mean, everything that comes to your mind, you don't need to say. I know some things that you need to just be quiet and ask the Lord to help you. Keep my mouth, Lord. Some of us, we feel we have a right to say what's on our mind. Let me give you a piece of my mind. You done gave so many pieces away, you ain't got no mind left. Emulations, and let's put that in modern terms, it's a jealousy of others. One who wants what others have. An attitude that is not grateful to God for the gifts He has given them, a strong feeling of resentment. That's what that word emulation represents. So then we done left the party. We done left the drunkenness. We done left cheating on the wife. And now we're talking about some inward stuff. Now the works of the flesh are these. So if you see bits and pieces of this in your life, flesh is still hanging on to you. And you need to pray for God to deliver you. Some things, he says, in fact, he tells them, he says, you have to put off anger. Get rid of it. There are some situations that you know that can upset you. Sometimes the best way for you to do is walk away. Sometimes the best thing to do is to abase yourself. You know, you become that person been fasting for 40 days. I don't have enough strength and energy to fight you. I need all the strength and help and energy. I need to invest it in God so he can strengthen me. Wrath. Remember I said there's different kinds of angers? Some people can have you convinced they're full of the Holy Ghost. Again, participating in church and Bible study, got plenty to say. They can quote scriptures to you and all that kind of stuff. But you know what this word wrath represents? You have fits of rage. You're walking around and you smiling and nodding and saying hello and God bless you. Catch you on the wrong day. You blow up. My wife had an experience like this. She walked by somebody and said hello, and they just blew up. Had nothing to do with her. And then that caused Pastor Jeff flesh wanna. Just have these fits. And then after you subside, you double personality spirit. You bipolar spirit. That's flesh. Yet we justify these reasons why we can go off on people. And then stand in church and say, praise the Lord, saints. The Lord will fight your battles. He can't fight yours because you keep getting in the way. Strife. This word has a lot to do with selfish ambitions, I found out. Flesh likes to parade itself. Flesh likes to promote itself. Flesh likes to say, look at me. Look who I am. Look at the title I wear. Look at the power I got. And the word, if you break it down, and I found out it means office seeking or canvassing. Manipulation of the process for personal gain. You know how people say the right things to you? How many of the Bible says when you flatter, you basically are lying? You're saying good things to people to get on their good side. So y'all can tell I'm not trying to flatter y'all tonight, right? That spirit of self-promotion, the Bible says that's flesh. I want to be seen. I want to be out front. How come they didn't call my name? How many of the Bible tells us to lower ourselves to our brother and humble ourselves. Consider one another first. But self-promotion just knocks people out of the way in its desire to be seen and noticed. That's flesh. Seditions. This word carries with it the ideal of political ties. Get on my side, and if you hook up with me, then we're going to take this somewhere. You ever hear me talk about gangs in the church? What do you think about what Pastor Jeff was preaching? Y'all know he said he got up at 3:30 this morning. He had to drive all the way back from Tulare. Took him 4.5 hours almost. Then after he got done with that, got to, had to go take care of Bishop. He's just upset tonight. Let's pray for him, okay? Let's really pray for him and keep him before the Lord. Pastor, I'm praying for you. That's flesh. Y'all finding some of this on y'all on that list? Heresies. That's deliberately choosing a doctrine at variance with the rule of faith. It's the intention to walk selfishly. And usually that person entices others to do so too. I heard what he said, but this is what I prefer to do. And guess what? Because it's in the heart, it demonstrates itself in the action. We just got done talking about time, didn't we? I know what he said, but this is what I'm going to do. And we're proud about exposing it and not saying anything and not feeling guilty, not doing any of that. And therefore, in this sense, heresies becomes this word that is defined. And the Bible says that is a work of the flesh. Envyings and murders, and we don't have to go there, but it's in this case, it's a plural word, and it's evil conduct and unacceptable rivalry springing from malice. It's a feeling of ill will toward your brother or your sister. You know, I see that ill will expressed. I'm just candid this way. Like sometimes during ministry, you see people cut their eyes at each other and go, oh, I see it. I just keep on preaching. Because I guess what? I got to feed sheep. Now you ghosts can do what you want to do. Sheep food is for sheep. But this openness, the Bible says that's flesh. See, I haven't left the house yet. This stuff happens in the house of the Lord. No, we're not out there stealing somebody's wife and drinking and orgies and parties and dope smoking. And but guess what is the longest section in this reading? These inward things that he says is flesh. I want to finish with this because I got plenty more I could say. But let's turn to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. I'm going to read 2 more scriptures. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, third chapter, verse 5, says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate perfection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Let me read. I'm going to read New King James. Help us together. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And we didn't read verse 6, but it says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. King James, I believe, says children. Let's look at 1 Peter. How many understand this is written to the church after Pentecost? This is written I mean, recognize these letters were not written to sinners. They were written to church-going people. And we must always recognize that. So these problems existed in the church. And there's no clarity. I wish we could go to 1 Corinthians 16, but he, or 6, if you go and read that when you get home, he says, he gives a list of things that people practice. And he says, people that do these things cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot of negativity and cannot attached to the flesh. You will not see God in the flesh. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Our flesh can't please God. Our mindset, our thought processes, our will, it has to be squashed. And crucifixion is a slow death, and because it is a slow death, I know it, you seem like you hang out on that cross forever, but you say, God, kill every ounce of it. I don't want anything that doesn't please you, God. 1 Peter 2nd chapter and verse 11. Dear beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul. How many know what abstain means? I hope that those of us in here that are youth understand the principle of abstinence. It means don't do it. If you're practicing part-time and if you do something on and off, that's not abstinence. Stay away from these kind of appetites because they stain your soul. And when your soul, this connection between your soul and your spirit, when your soul is messed up, because your soul is what we call the horizontal plane, it experiences and it takes in and soaks in life. It's that I part of us. And so the Bible lets us know that's the part of us that is capable of sinning. So if your soul gets messed up, it's so tied into your spirit because your soul and spirit are part of the inner man, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. But if your soul drags down your spirit, effective worship can't take place. And when we entertain these things with our fleshly appetites, our ideals, and our desires, and we try to impress them on the Lord, when his word flatly denies those. When we think we go on and hate, when we think we go on and commit strife, when we think we can have selfish ambitions, when we think we have all these things in our heart and continue to try to serve the Lord. How many know God weighs our spirit? He searches our heart. But guess what also searches our heart? The word of God. The Bible says it's sharp. It's a double-edged sword. Piercing to the dividing asunder of both soul and spirit. It helps you identify which is flesh. Which we just did tonight. We went through the word and said, well, Pastor Jeff, I don't know what my flesh is. I just showed you. And when you see these things and you see hunger and appetite for these things in you, that's your signal. Get before God. So help me, Lord. Don't sit there and pet that thing. Don't sit there and say, I'm okay. You're going to be standing there in Matthew 7. Lord, didn't I do many mighty works in your name? And he said, I never knew you. I prophesied in your name. I never knew you. I cast out devils. I never knew you. You were working iniquity. Why? Because you were doing it from a place of a messed up soul. You refused to get rid of the things I told you to put off. To get rid of. Now, this has brought us around where, and let me close my Bible. This has brought us around where I so many times arrive because I recognize I can't get rid of that by myself. So that puts me on my knees and I get before the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. I thought I was this and I found out I wasn't. And so I need your help, Lord. Touch my heart. God, here, I'm giving it to you. And there's bits and pieces of me that want to hang on to it. But God, give me the strength to let it go. Because that's not pleasing you. I can't hate anybody and call myself a Christian. You told me to love even my enemies. Do good unto them. I can't do that into myself. Demands that you ask for me are great, Lord. So I have to walk after the Spirit. I have to trace heart. I have to stay in step. So if the Spirit says that day to me, fast, fast. If the Spirit says to me that day, pray, pray. If the Spirit that day says, listen to my word all day, guess what? He's telling you that for a reason. And you want to stay in step with him. Not saying, but, oh, I love Lisa. He's coming in on. I missed this episode. I'm going to mess with sister. Today is Tuesday. Goodwill, senior citizens, discount day. If he says pray, guess what? That means put aside. There's a reason for it. And guess what he's doing? He's crucifying that flesh. And how many know we all need to die a little bit daily? We all need it. We all need it. We need him to wash us in his blood. We need him to sanctify our life. We need him to cleanse us from the inside out. Amen. Let's lift our hands toward heaven. Father, we're so grateful for your word. Your word is true. Your word is truth. Your word is light. Your word is direction. Your word, Lord, cleanses. And we need every bit of your word, God, to live a sustainable, godly life in this world. That is your desire, your plan, that we be lights. And God, we must represent you in the best way possible. And we must position ourselves. And sometimes that leads us to the point that we must deny ourselves. We must recognize our flesh when it is in operation. Get rid of it. Its natural, innate ability is not to want anything that pleases you. Therefore, it becomes our enemy too. And we must die out to your flesh, Lord. Die out to our flesh, Lord. And I understand, God, and we ask you here, everyone is in agreement, I'm sure. We need your help to do that, God. And we rely on your help to do that, God. Getting us ready that we be that bride without spot, without wrinkle, that at your appearing, we're ready to go with you, God. That we hear those words, blessed and well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And with your help, with your strength, we will do that in the name of Jesus.